The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'm going to be reading articles from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter. And the first article is entitled, Shingles, Prevent the Pain. In 2020, Teresa took her third trip to a Michigan emergency room to find relief for her intense pain. The burning, tingling pain had begun in her low back and then stretched around her side and up toward her arm. She was doubled up in pain and couldn't find a comfortable position. Her daughter, a nurse, thought Teresa might be passing a kidney stone. At one point, the doctor wondered if it could be appendicitis. But this wasn't a kidney stone or an inflamed appendix. It was shingles. Teresa had already been diagnosed with shingles when her primary care provider identified the itchy rash in her right low back. But the pain got so intense, she figured there could be another medical issue at play. I'm not sure that I ever had pain as bad as that pain was, Teresa said. That was all I could think about. If you had a chicken pox, the disease is probably a hazy memory from your childhood of a week or so of constant itchiness. Don't let that downplay the seriousness of shingles. Though it's caused by the same virus, shingles can be extremely painful. In some people, the pain can linger for months. Do anything you can to avoid it, Teresa says. Fortunately, you can take Teresa's advice and drastically decrease your chance of having shingles. You can develop shingles, herpes zoster, if you've had previously chickenpox or varicella. However, some people may not know that they've had chickenpox, especially if they were infected early in life or had mild or no symptoms. It's best to assume that you've had chickenpox if you grew up in a time before the chickenpox vaccine was approved in 1995. The virus that causes chickenpox, the varicella zoster virus, doesn't leave your body even after the chickenpox rash has healed. Instead, it lies dormant in nerve tissue near your spinal cord. Your immune system keeps the virus at bay, but when your immunity is weak or distracted, the virus can reactivate. This can happen naturally as you age, and therefore shingles occurs most frequently in older adults. In addition, your risk of shingles is higher if your immune system is weakened due to certain diseases like HIV or certain treatments and medications like chemotherapy, radiation, or steroids. Shingles typically appears on one side of the body. The virus usually reactivates along one nerve pathway. If your immune system is very suppressed, though, you may develop a rash in multiple areas of your body. Shingles results from virus reactivation from within your own body, so you don't catch the disease from other people. But somebody who isn't immune to chickenpox can get chickenpox by touching another person's open shingle blisters. So if you have shingles, don't have physical contact with those who have not had chickenpox and have not had the varicella vaccine. Be especially careful around newborns, pregnant women, and people with weak immune systems. Chickenpox can be more dangerous for those groups. The shingles blisters will eventually crust over, usually after about 7 to 10 days, at which point the virus is no longer contagious. While it's more likely that you only develop shingles once, it's possible for the virus to reactivate again in some people. The hallmark of shingles is a painful rash that usually appears as a horizontal band of blisters on one side of the torso. But keep in mind, the rash can appear anywhere, including the neck and the face. Pain occurs in the same general area as the rash. The pain usually begins before the rash appears, but some people may not develop a rash at all. You may only experience mild pain. Or the pain can be so intense that it's mistaken for a heart attack, appendicitis, or another serious health problem. Along with pain, you may feel burning, tingling, and itching. You may have a fever, headache, and sensitivity to light or fatigue. Shingles can sometimes involve a nerve near your eye, which can lead to blindness. Sometimes you can experience inflammation of the brain, facial paralysis, hearing changes, and balance problems. Shingles involving the face requires immediate visit to a healthcare provider. There's usually two things that are done to treat shingles. First of all, treatment of the viral infection. And that usually involves prescription antiviral drugs like acyclovir, Zovirax, famciclovir, or valacyclovir, Valtrex, which can speed healing and alleviate pain, especially if they are administered in the first 3 days after the rash appears. The other thing that is usually done is to treat the pain. While antivirals can help with the pain, you may need pain medications. Non-prescription, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen may work if the pain is mild. If the pain is very intense, opioid pain medications may be considered. Another type of medication that can be helpful are the anti-seizure medications such as gabapentin or Neurontin, as well as certain antidepressants like amitriptyline. Cool, wet compresses on the blisters can also help. If you experience itching, try common chickenpox treatment of calamine lotion. Also, oatmeal baths can be quite effective. Teresa wishes she'd visited her primary care doctor and had her rash examined sooner. Antiviral treatment is generally more helpful when received right away. She encourages others to learn the symptoms of shingles and have potential symptoms promptly evaluated. Try not to take any rash or intense pain for granted, and assume that you know what it is just because you have back problems or you've had some other sort of pain issue. Make sure to have it checked out. Another issue with shingles can be long-term pain, which is called postherpetic neuralgia. For some people, the pain doesn't go away as the rash fades. Shingles can damage the sensory nerves. These nerves may then send confused and exaggerated messages of pain from the skin to the brain, resulting in intense pain. Some describe the pain as burning, sharp, jabbing, or deep and aching. The pain may resolve after a few months or years, but for some it lasts for the rest of their lives. And that is called postherpetic neuralgia. It's the most common long-term complication of shingles. Also, besides pain, your skin may feel extremely sensitive, to the point that even the sensation of clothing on your skin feels unbearable. Symptoms typically occur in the general area of your previous blisters. Long-term treatments can include antidepressants and anti-seizure medications. Topical creams and patches like lidocaine numbing agents or capsaicin passages like Qtenza, Q-U-T-E-N-Z-A. And capsaicin is spelled C-A-P-S-A-I-C-I-N. The shingles vaccine and possibly prompt antiviral treatment lessens your chance of postherpetic neuralgia. There is a new shingles vaccine called Shingrix, which plays an important role in reducing your risk of shingles and subsequent postherpetic neuralgia. Shingrix was approved in 2017 and represented a leap forward in protection against shingles. The previous vaccine, which was called Zostavax, is no longer available in the United States. Zostavax reduced the risk of developing shingles in people age 60 and older by about 50%. If you did get shingles, the risk of postherpetic neuralgia was decreased by 67%. Compare that to the effectiveness of the new vaccine. Shingrix decreases the risk of developing shingles by 97% if you're under the age of 70, and 91% if you're 70 or older. It also reduces the risk of developing postherpetic neuralgia by 90%. The Zostavax vaccine contains a weakened live virus. Shingrix, on the other hand, is a recombinant vaccine. It uses only the part of the virus that causes disease. That means that Shingrix can safely be given to people with weakened immune systems. In fact, studies of people with different immune problems have shown that vaccine can decrease the risk of developing shingles for these groups with weakened immune systems by about 70 to 90%. Teresa was one of the unlucky few who was vaccinated and still developed shingles, but she's still glad she got the vaccine. My doctor said it could have been a lot worse had I not had the Shingrix vaccine, Teresa says, so I would definitely recommend it. Even at its best, it's very, very bad to get shingles. Shingrix is recommended for everyone over the age of 50, even if they already had shingles or previously received Zostavax. The Centers for Disease Control also recommends Shingrix vaccine for certain adults over age 18 who have weakened immune systems. The Shingrix treatment requires two doses, 2 to 6 months apart. Talk to your healthcare team or pharmacist to get vaccinated. We're going to stay with the Mayo Clinic health letter, and now I'm going to read an article about biofeedback therapy from the July 2022 issue. Body and mind can benefit from a look inside. Within your body, a vast pageant of unseen acts plays out in miniature. Muscles contract, blood flows, hormones surge, nerves communicate complex information to and from your brain. What if you could get a backstage view of at least some of your mind and body's inner workings? Biofeedback therapy aims to broadcast what's happening inside of you to a screen or monitor that gives immediate data. By more closely connecting you to how your body and mind work, you can use that knowledge to gain better control of certain functions, like your heart rate. With biofeedback, you're connected to electric sensors that help you to receive information. This feedback helps you to make subtle changes in your body, relaxing certain muscles, for example, to achieve the results that you want, like reducing pain. Biofeedback gives you the ability to practice new ways to control your body, often to improve health or physical performance. Biofeedback therapy highlights your active role in your health. It's often used in conjunction with traditional treatments, like medications and procedures, but can occasionally replace them. Biofeedback is generally started at a medical facility with a care provider, like a doctor, a psychologist, or a therapist. Sessions may last 30 minutes to an hour. You may begin with an in-person session, then continue on your own with the home device. There's several different kinds of biofeedback sensor types. These include electromyography, or EMG. This involves electrodes that are placed on the skin. They measure muscle tension so you can practice intentionally relaxing muscle groups. The next is temperature or thermal sensors. These sensors are attached to your fingers or feet and measure your skin temperature. Hand or foot temperature often drops with stress due to less blood flow. Learning to warm the hands or feet can cause a relaxation response. This blood flow component may be especially beneficial for migraines. Biofeedback sensors can monitor sweat gland activity. Sensors attached around your fingers or on your palm or wrist with an electrodermograph, or EDG, measure the activity of your sweat glands and the amount of perspiration on your skin, alerting you to anxiety. Biofeedback sensors can measure heart rate. This type can use finger or earlobe sensors with a device used to detect blood volume changes that correspond to heart rate. This is called a photoplethysmograph. Alternatively, sensors placed on your chest, lower torso, or wrists use an electrocardiograph to measure your heart rate and how your heart rate varies. Using this type of biofeedback may lead to improvements in blood pressure, breathing, stress, and anxiety. A computer translates the information from the sensors to an image or sound, so you have immediate feedback about your body. Visual feedback may include graphs, images, or progress in games. Audio feedback includes a tone that lowers and raises in pitch based on your body's responses. As your body changes, like your muscles tensing or relaxing, the result is displayed in real time. The therapist can help guide you, or may self-guide, toward controlling body responses by watching how your thoughts and actions change the display. Biofeedback therapy has shown benefits in treating multiple health conditions, including chronic pain. Biofeedback is commonly used for back or neck pain, tension headaches, jaw, like temporomandibular joint or TMJ pain, and fibromyalgia. A device directly measures your muscle tension, breathing rate, and heart rate. Lowering tension and the stress response due to your pain can decrease pain. In addition, the device helps you to monitor your physical reaction to stress, which in turn often causes or worsens the experience of pain. That input is displayed on a screen or as a sound. You gradually train your brain to control and calm these physical reactions, thus starving pain of the fuel it uses to escalate. The goal is to eventually be able to calm the unhelpful physical reactions on your own without the aid of a biofeedback device. Another thing is incontinence. Biofeedback can treat pelvic floor issues, including fecal incontinence. Sensors attached to a small probe placed inside the anal canal help the person know when and how it feels when anal sphincter muscles relax and contract. With increased awareness and practice, you can learn to strengthen the sphincter muscles and improve communication between the anal region and the brain. Stress. Biofeedback can help you to identify sources of stress and develop healthy responses to that stress. By teaching your body a healthy response, you can reduce the damage caused by stress and potentially even prevent both physical and mental health symptoms. Cardiovascular disease. Biofeedback-assisted stress management therapy aims to reduce feelings of stress and anxiety and may in turn help to lower blood pressure and improve symptoms of heart disease. Further, one particular biofeedback device, Respirate, R-E-S-P-E-R-A-T-E, is approved by the Food and Drug Administration for reducing stress and lowering blood pressure. Respirate is a portable electronic device that promotes slow, deep breathing. Talk with your healthcare provider about whether biofeedback therapy might benefit you. Advantages include: it doesn't involve taking a drug or having a procedure performed. It's therefore considered very safe, and there really aren't any side effects. It may reduce or eliminate your need for certain medications and may help you to avoid other, more invasive treatments. It helps people take charge of their health, and biofeedback is also less expensive and time-consuming than many other interventions. But more research is needed to demonstrate biofeedback's effectiveness in treating certain medical conditions. In addition, the cost is not always covered by insurance. In some cases, biofeedback may be no more effective than other simple, less expensive relaxation techniques. But if you have difficulty relaxing and reducing your stress, biofeedback may provide you the information that you need to succeed. Now we're going to talk for a little while about Clostridium difficile treatments. This is again from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter of July. Difficile is spelled D-I-F-F-I-C-I-L-E. Clostridium difficile infection, also called C. diff, can be tough. C. difficile bacteria enter the body through the mouth and infect the large intestine, where they can release tissue-damaging toxins. The primary symptom is watery diarrhea, but the infection can less commonly lead to kidney failure, sepsis, shock, and the need for surgery to remove the colon, and it can also lead to death. In addition to being potentially serious, the infection is relatively common. You can catch the infection anywhere, but usually it spreads in hospitals and long-term care facilities and infects older adults. The bacteria comes from the feces of those infected and form tough spores that can live for a long time on surfaces. Although you're more likely to get the infection after using antibiotics, some people develop symptoms even without using antibiotics. And if that weren't enough, the infection commonly comes back after you think you recovered from it. There are treatments, including antibiotic regimes, an antibody-based therapy, and a new experimental procedure known as fecal microbiota transplantation that can help you to beat the infection. A healthcare provider may test your stool for C. difficile if you have watery diarrhea 3 times in 1 day. You may experience other gastrointestinal symptoms like abdominal cramps, nausea, vomiting, loss of appetite, blood in the stool, or a swollen abdomen. You may have fever or experience dehydration. A C. difficile infection can be classified by its severity, which guides treatment. A classification of non-severe or severe may be based on white blood cell count, kidney function. The infection is considered extremely serious if you have a severe infection and experience low blood pressure, sepsis, dangerous enlargement of the colon, or intestines that stop contracting to push out waste. Taking antibiotics is an important risk factor for C. difficile infection. Typically, there are abundant good bacteria in your intestines to keep you healthy. Antibiotics will destroy the infection-causing bacteria in your body, but some of the helpful bacteria may also be destroyed as collateral damage. Without enough helpful bacteria, C. difficile can quickly grow out of control. This especially occurs from taking clindamycin, cephalosporins, penicillins, or fluoroquinolones. An example of a fluoroquinolone would be Cipro. A healthcare provider will likely have you stop taking any of these potentially problematic medications. You may also be advised to temporarily stop taking proton pump inhibitors, a type of medication used to reduce stomach acid, as these may increase your risk of C. difficile infection. It may seem counterintuitive, but because C. difficile results in bacterial infection, you are also told to start taking different antibiotics. These include Difacid or Fidaxomicin, Vancomycin, or rarely, Metronidazole. Fidaxomicin is considered the best at preventing the infection from coming back. But the trouble is, your insurance may not cover this treatment. Unfortunately, about a quarter of people treated for C. difficile infection have their symptoms disappear, only to come back within 8 weeks after completing treatment. Every recurrent infection makes another recurrent infection more likely. Some people are more likely to experience a recurrence, including those who are over 65, have a serious underlying medical disorder, have a suppressed immune system, or are taking antibiotics for another condition. Well, I'm going to have to stop at this point, because unfortunately we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. I sure hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.